Isaiah chapter 43. Of course, this is the Lord speaking to his children. And I believe we can also apply this to our lives. A lot of the things in the, a lot of scripture in the Word of God is meant for that time and that place specifically. But I also believe that what God says to his children also applies to his children today. We find great hope in this. I don't know if you are like me, but you know that Pastor Calvin and myself, we drive a lot of miles, spend a lot of time in the car, in the vehicle. And he's probably like me. I've been around him long enough now, since 2001 when I first started with evangelistic outreach. And there's just some times when you'd rather be by yourself in a car. And yeah. Yeah, there is. There are just times. And because there's just times when you just need that time with you and God. Preachers know what I'm talking about. And even some of you husbands may know what I'm talking about. Maybe your wife told you to go drive alone in the car for a little bit. Anyway, I move on. But there's, so we got a lot of time, drive time, a lot of things to think about, pray about as we're headed to a service or wherever we're going. But if you're like me, I listen to, I like music, of course, but I have a go-to. Anybody have a go-to? Anybody have a song that they just go to? Yeah, I do. I do, and it's mine. It's not Southern Gospel, I'm sorry. It's a choir song. And it's simply "When I Think About the Lord." That's the name of the song. And you can go look it up. It's very simple. It's nothing outlandish, but it just builds. And it talks about just somebody thinking about Jesus, how he saved me, how he healed me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he forgave me, how he placed my feet on solid ground. And then the chorus says, "When I think about all these things, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." And it goes just on. It repeats itself over and over, but then it just keeps building. And then, and so I think about a lot of things. And when you think about things, it sort of puts me into this mind of scripture here, because this is the things that I think about. And that's what I'm preaching tonight. This is what I think about. Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he hath formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." And I like this part. "Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." This is a powerful thing, and I think about this verse a lot. Think about these verses a lot, because it relates to my life, and it will relate to your life, hopefully, by the end of this message. I want you to just get right into the message, and I want you to notice the first thing I think about is my purpose with God. He says, "Thou, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee." Formed thee. This is in the past tense. You'll find everything in this first verse is in the past tense, almost as if it happened before we were even born. In fact, it did happen before we were even born. And I think about my purpose with God. I think about how I thought my purpose was supposed to be something, but it ended up being totally opposite of what I thought, but it definitely was what God wanted in my life. And how many of you can testify to that fact? When you started your life out, maybe you were thinking about careers, maybe you were thinking about relationships, and you thought about it, had everything wrote down what you would like to do and what you thought your purpose was. And we do that a lot when we're young people. We do that a lot when we're you know, early 20s. What's my purpose in life? But then now you look back a little bit later and find out it was nothing like you had thought. Maybe you reached that goal, but you reached it in a way you never thought possible. And that's when God says, hey, I'm the one in control here. I'm the one that formed thee. I'm the one that created a purpose in you before you were even born. Remember Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And I formed thee to be a preacher. And listen, God gives us, every one of us, a purpose tonight. And listen, the greatest thing about that is, even though you may not know your purpose, God knows your purpose. And in his way, in his time, for his glory, he will reveal that to you. And listen, what I find with so many young people, maybe this point is just for young people tonight, but what I find it is, they are so quick to try to find their purpose instead of being patient and letting God speak to them. And so many of us can testify to that. We got out ahead of God and thought, well, this is what God wants, and really wasn't what God wanted. And we got ahead of God and didn't follow the purpose that God had for us. But may I remind each and every one of you tonight, before you were born, before you were even a thought, before you were formed in your mother's belly, God has a purpose for every single one of us tonight. Whether young, middle-aged, or senior saint, God still has a purpose for you. As long as you're living in this world, God has a purpose for you. And really, ultimately, the greatest purpose of all is for us to glorify God and for us to show the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. That's truly our purpose. And so look at the purpose. When I think about our purpose, when he says, I have formed thee. But listen, I want you to notice this as well. I think about my past. He says, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. I call thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He talks about it in the past tense. Meaning, listen, I've saved you. I brought you out. I have redeemed you. I have forgiven you. And listen, it reminds us tonight, he did it all. We had nothing to do with our redemption. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He was telling his children, you had nothing to do with it. I'm the one that had the power to redeem you, and I still have the power to redeem you. And aren't you thankful tonight we didn't have nothing to do with it? Hallelujah, because our righteousness, our abilities cannot compare to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. But he paid the price. He paid the price. In fact, he was the lamb slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Before you even committed your first sin, God already had a plan in store for you to be redeemed. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, he already had a plan for them and the world to be redeemed. Hallelujah. And he was the one in control of it. We had nothing to do with it. And when we think about our past, some of us, you know, we have a past we'd like to forget. But really, when you think about it, the past that we wish we would forget reminds us of how good God's been to us. And some of you might have a more shady past than others. But it really doesn't matter. We all have something in common. We all had a past. We all had a used to be. We all were somewhere else other than the house of God. We all were without sin. But thank God, because of the blood of Christ, we've been made nigh. We're no longer strangers and aliens to the covenant of promise. But thank God, because of the blood and its redemptive power, we've been redeemed and set free by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. He redeems us. That word redeemed gives the connotation of Jesus Christ being our kinsman redeemer. And that's what that means. And of course, if you don't know what a kinsman redeemer is, let me just briefly tell you this. But the kinsman redeemer, we know the greatest story of the kinsman redeemer is found in the book of Ruth. When Ruth and Naomi's, their family died, and they had to go back home. They had to go back to Bethlehem. And here Boaz was. And Boaz was the nearest kin to Naomi. And so we find that the Bible says that they had a kinsman redeemer, and this Boaz would become the kinsman redeemer. But do you understand there had to be some requirements in order to be a kinsman redeemer? Now let me remind you this, don't lose me now. Hey, this is talking about Christ as well. Because God said, I'm the one that's the Redeemer. I'm the one that it came from. The power to redeem came from me. So the same qualities that a kinsman redeemer had is the same qualities that Jesus Christ had. So the first requirement of a kinsman redeemer is they had to be a blood relative. They had to be a blood relative. So Naomi, the closest blood relative, actually you'll find in the book of Ruth, there was someone closer than Boaz. But that relative actually rejected Ruth. He said, I don't want nothing to do with her. But Boaz stepped up and says, I don't care what the others do. I'm going to take her. The requirement fell to him. The other one said, the world said no, but Boaz said, I'll take her. And thank God the devil says, and the world says no, but Jesus says, yes, I'll take them. Thank God we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And because we've been nigh by the blood, thank God he is our blood relative. What else? Not only did he have to be a blood relative, but he had to have the resources. That means he had to be wealthy enough to pay for her. I may not get past these points right here, but he had to be wealthy enough to pay for Ruth. And listen, Jesus has to be wealthy enough in order to pay for our redemption. And aren't you thankful tonight? Any wealth we can try to amass in this world is nothing to compare of the wealth and the riches that Jesus Christ had. Why? Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thank God nothing is greater than the price that he paid with his blood. And the blood was enough to pay for our sin. My dad and mom's here tonight. My dad always uses this illustration. Whenever he was growing up, we don't have the old red church hymnal. We have red hymnals. But growing up in the Christian Baptist and in Free Will Baptist, they used a church hymnal series, hymnals. And so in that hymnal, the song Covered by the Blood is not in there. So when dad started going, and when him and mom got married and they started going around to Nazarene churches and Churches of Christ Christian Union and other churches that had different hymnals, they would sing that song, Covered by the Blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. And dad, I'll just tell you what he says there. He said, every time they sang it, I thought they're wrong. My sins are washed away. They're not covered. Okay. Wait a minute, Elsie. I'm not done yet. Until God showed him one day what that meant. He was at a restaurant and he got a bill. And the bill was such and such amount. He laid a $20 bill on that receipt, on that invoice. And he says, that'll cover it. And automatically the light bulb went off in his mind. And his mind went back to that song, Covered by the Blood. And he thought, yeah, that's what it means. I had a sin debt. Thank God that I owed and I could not pay. But Jesus slapped his blood on it and said, that'll cover it. Aren't you thankful tonight? He has the resources to redeem us. Hallelujah. Woo. Did I tell that right, Dad? Pretty close? Okay. I might have evangelized a little bit. He had to be a blood relative. He had to have the resources. But listen, he had to have the right, or he had to be willing to redeem. He had the option to say yes or no. Even though the other relative rejected, Boaz said, I'll take her. And even though friends and family and world may reject you tonight, my friend, you may have tried to find love from everywhere else but the Savior. I want to give you good news tonight. If you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Thank God he will take you in and he'll redeem you by his precious blood. The requirements, but then notice quickly the responsibilities. The responsibilities. See that when he bought them, when he was the kinsman redeemer, his responsibilities were this. They were set free out of bondage whenever he redeemed them. Anyone, her and her, whoever it was, a kinsman redeemer, if they were willing to redeem that person, them and their family was released from slavery. They were released from bondage. Do I need to run over that one more time? When the Redeemer said, I will take you in, that means you and the ones in your family were set free from bondage. Aren't you glad you're free? It's been a common theme tonight. I about had a shout and spell over there thinking about it. They have no idea what I'm singing, but they're singing, he set me free. He set me free. Playing, thank God I'm free. I'm glad I'm free tonight because the kinsman Redeemer said, I'll take you in. They were set free from bondage. But then also notice this. Every possession that they had, they bought that too. So for instance, say if Ruth had land, Boaz had to take all that too. So see, she had baggage. If she had baggage, the Redeemer said, I've got to take that. So when you came to Christ, when he said, I'm willing to take you, he says, I'm willing to take you and everything you're bringing with you. Because some of you came to Christ like me at an early age. We didn't have much baggage. Me and Candy were saved at the age of 5 years old. We didn't have much baggage when we came to him. We were scared to death to go to hell. But some of you got saved later in life. Some of you, like Buddy Porter, got saved in the year 2000. Hey, I'm not saying anything against Buddy, but he probably had some baggage because he lived on this earth a little bit longer than some of us before we were saved. But aren't you thankful that no matter what the age, no matter how much you've accumulated in baggage, thank God he'll take all of you. Glory to God. Woo, this is good preaching. Glory to God. Man, I got, man. I'm going to have to cut this off. Oh, well, I'll just get to the past, then we'll take an offering. Phil, maybe we need to take an offering. I don't know. He redeemed us. He did it all. We had nothing to do with it, but he redeemed us. What else did he do when it came to our past? Not only did he redeem us, but he renewed us. He says, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Before you were redeemed, he called you. And we cannot be redeemed unless he calls us. There's a big argument right now, and I'm not going to get into it because it gets deep. It can get confusing, and God's not the author of confusion. But we cannot get whatever anybody argues with you that you cannot be called in order to be saved, that you don't have to be called in order to be saved. How do they get past the verse in the New Testament where it says, except the Spirit draw them? And boom, we have it right here in the Old Testament. For I have called thee. You'll find it over and over in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit wasn't here, God vocally spoke to people and called them by name. And even though he knew what they were, when he called them, this connotation in the Hebrew actually means when he called them not by what they were at that point, he called them by what he knew they would be in the future. So when he called Abram, he knew he would be Abraham. You hear what I'm saying? When he called Jacob, he knew he would become Israel. You hear what I'm saying? When he called Simon, he knew he would be called Peter the Rock. When he called Saul of Tarsus, he knew he would become Paul the Apostle. And when he called Brian Bayer at the age of 5, thank God he knew I would be an assistant pastor at Rubyville Community Church. Hey, listen tonight, when he calls us knowing what we are, but thank God he knows what we're going to be. Hallelujah. Woo, this is good. And he calls us by name. Hallelujah. Then what else does he say? Not only does he redeem us and renew us with our past, but he receives us. How does he receive us? The last part of verse 1, when he says, thou art mine. He was placing his stamp, saying, paid in full on his children. How many of you ever, I'm stopping right there. I got 3 more points, but I'm stopping. How many of you have ever went to an auction or online auction? Anybody ever do that? Come on, I know. Don't act so. There you go. Well, a lot of times, especially modern day now, we don't have a lot of, there's still a lot of auction houses, but most of the stuff's done online now. And when they sell stuff online, most of the time you don't know if it's sold or not. So sometimes they'll go through after, you know, after the auction's been on for a while and some things have been sold, so they'll go back and they'll mark it sold and you can't bid on it any longer, of course, because it's already been bought. You can't pay for it. You can't even attempt to get it because it's already paid. It would be stupid for me, Mark, to go to try and repay for something that's already been bought by somebody else. And yet we think that we're trying to do something like we're trying to re-earn our salvation after Christ has already saved us. Hey, listen, we don't have to live in fear. Because when we are redeemed, that literally means to be bought back. And when we are bought back, he puts a stamp on us that says, paid in full. Sold. Property of Jesus Christ. And so when everybody looks at us, they should see that stamp of approval. That means I belong to Jesus Christ. I am his and he is mine. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? When he redeemed us, he renewed us. But thank God he received us and brought us in and says the devil can't touch you. People can't touch you. Thank God you are mine and I will keep you forever and for eternity. You're his. You're only his, though, if you've been redeemed. And the greatest news is how it comes with the song. The greatest news is tonight, you can be redeemed. You say, Brian, how am I redeemed? What? These are big words. I don't understand it all. Well, let me just break it down simply as he gets the song ready. All of us that were born into this world, we have an empty spot in our life that can only be filled by Jesus Christ and his precious blood. The Bible says in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But a few verses later, it also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to do anything in order to be saved other than accepting what he's already done for you. And that's why it's so sad to see people on a weekly basis leave here without salvation in their heart. Because it's not difficult. We make it so hard and we put so many prerequisites on it when Jesus says all you got to do is come. My purpose in your life is for you to be saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's everybody's purpose in here tonight. You need to be saved. You can be saved. He's paid the price. Come and accept it. You can walk out of here renewed and received by your kinsman redeemer. Let's be standing tonight.